Father, we exalt your name this morning, Lord. We lift your name, Lord Jesus Christ, like a banner above this place. Father, because you're worthy, you're high and lifted up. We glorify you and we honor you, Lord. We magnify your mighty name. Lord, we trust by your Holy Spirit this morning that you are here to do something very different in people's hearts, Lord. I bring each heart before you, Lord. Every heart that has come today, Lord, whether it's the first time or whether they've come repetitively over the last 20 years, Lord, I bring every heart before you and we submit it before you, Lord. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that your Spirit comes and cracks it open, Lord, and shows us something new, shows us something eternal. Let us not be hearers of the word, Lord. Let us be doers of the word. I pray for a conviction by your Holy Spirit, Lord, but not in a way that makes people fear, in a gentle, quiet way. That's how you work, Lord. You're gentle and patient and long-suffering and kind. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that this day it is your word that comes out of my mouth, not mine, Lord. These words, this message comes directly from the heart of heaven. So I thank you, Father, that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth shall be pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to start with the question. What happens if you don't eat food? Okay, slowly over an amount of time, your body is starved of nutrients and starved of energy. And eventually, as Dr. Tracy will tell us, your organs shut down and you die. That's what happens when you don't eat food. Now, what is true in the physical is also true in the spiritual. The physical world so often reflects the spiritual world. It's to help us understand. God helps us to understand what's working in the spiritual. Another example is marriage. Marriage between a husband and wife is a physical example of what happens with Jesus and his church, that same type of intimacy. Andre spoke about that a lot last week, and I urge those of you who didn't hear Andre's message last week on relationships, it was actually on legacy. I urge you to go to our website and download it. It was a really powerful message. So anyway, you cannot survive physically without food. And you cannot survive spiritually without food. And I want to talk about a condition that is prevalent in this church. It's actually prevalent in every single one of our shofar churches. This condition is prevalent in the universal church of Jesus Christ. This condition is prevalent in our homes, in our families, in our community, and in our culture. And this condition is called spiritual malnutrition. Spiritual malnutrition. Some of us in this room, and I say us, including myself, some of us in this room are so busy with life, so busy with family, so overloaded with things of the ministry that they neglect to read the Word of God. And you are suffering from spiritual malnutrition. If you do not change something this morning, if you do not change something this morning, and I believe that God has brought you this morning here for a very specific purpose, to hear this word. If you do not change something this morning, you are going to go around your life spiritually anemic, weak, tired in the spirit, exhausted. You will not have the spiritual nutrients that you need to be spiritually healthy. Which brings me to the title of my message this morning. And it's up there. Eat to live. Now I hear all the time people saying, culture is rejecting evangelical Christianity. And it's true. It is. Culture is rejecting evangelical Christianity. But that's not what really concerns me, because the Bible said that that would happen. It said in the last days that it would become even more tough on Christians. What really concerns me is evangelical Christians rejecting the Bible. Now, when I say that, I don't mean the truth of the Bible. I mean time in the Bible. Time in the Bible. If you don't think we have a problem, I want you to listen to the following statistics, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. Fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. Can you name them? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So fewer than half of all adults can name the four Gospels. What about the Ten Commandments? How many can you name? Okay, I'm going to give you a little moment of time. Go through your fingers. You can do it quietly so people don't have to see. Go through the Ten Commandments. There's 10. Don't worry if you can't get all 10. 60% of all Americans, which is meant to be a Christian culture, Christian country, 60% of all Americans cannot even name five. Five. I did this test on myself, and I must admit I got 9. I missed the Sabbath. That's probably one of the ones that maybe one of you missed. I want to continue. 81% of born-again Christians think this verse, God helps those who help themselves, is in the Bible. It's not. It's actually a quote from Benjamin Franklin, a U.S. president. God helps those who help themselves. 81% of Christians think that that's in the Bible. Over 60% of college graduates think Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife. For your information, there were cities in the Bible. Last one. 12% of adults think that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. Okay, so maybe you're sitting there and you think, I can pass all those tests. It's easy. I know all of those. I know those facts. I know my Bible. Well, this morning I'd like to go a little bit deeper. And I'd like to define two groups. Okay? Say you're in the first group who's honest and admits, you know, I don't really read my Bible as much as I should. Actually, I admit, I don't actually read my Bible every day. Come to think of it, maybe some of you are saying, I don't read my Bible every week. And there's some that may be saying, I don't even read my Bible every month. And there's some people in here that said, are saying, I can't even remember the last time I read my Bible. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm here this morning to help you. Then there are other people in this congregation, and I can see some of you, I won't look at them, looking quite smug, thinking, I read my Bible every day. Every single day, without fail, I read my Bible. So let them have it. Let the other people have it. Let that other group have it. But I want to ask you something. You read your Bible every day, but do you live your Bible every day? Do you live your Bible every day? Does the Bible affect the way you live? Does the Bible really affect the way that you do business? Does the Bible really affect the way you treat your husband or your wife? Does the Bible really affect the way you treat your neighbor? It's one thing to read your Bible, it's another one to live it. But you cannot live it unless you read it. Okay. So my goal is very simple this morning. My aim is for you to never look at this book the same way again. That is my aim this morning. I want you to look, when you leave this church today, I want you to see this Bible in a different light. And God showed me this Bible in a different light some time back, and I've actually shared it once before with some of you. It's a vision that he gave me. And it's a two-part vision. It's the first time I had a vision split over 2 days. And I'm going to share the first part with you right now. I was kneeling at my bed praying, and it felt like the room disappeared. I was crouching in a ball like this. Anyone could see me? Crouching in a ball. I believe in the throne room of God. Everything disappeared. It was like the walls disappeared, and there was this mighty, mighty shining light. but I could not look at the light. It was like trying to look at a sun, but 10,000 times more powerful than the sun. And I knew it was God. And I knew I was in his throne room, and I knew I was on my face in the throne room. And in front of me was a Bible. Vision ends. I'm very confused. I don't know what that means. I go and share it with my wife, and she says, well, maybe you should pray for revelation. I pray for revelation, nothing. Little did I know that the Lord would give me the balance of that vision the next day. So hold that thought. I'm asking you to hold that thought. Hold that picture of the vision. Okay, so I think we're at a point where some of us are admitting, okay, I don't get into the book, the holy book, as much as I should. And even when I do, some of you are saying, it's as dry as dust. I don't understand what it's saying. I don't understand what it means. It means so little, actually. So my question for you today, and I've got it up on the screen there. It says, how do I get out of the rut of spiritual malnutrition? How do I get out of the rut of spiritual malnutrition? The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter 2, tells us three things we need to do. And I'm going to share those three things with you. First one is, we need to develop a heart for God's word. Number one, we need to develop a heart for God's word. So verse 2 starts like this. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Peter here compares us to newborn babies. And a newborn baby has an instinctual desire and a craving for milk. And so should we. We should crave spiritual milk the same way as a physical baby craves its mama's milk. Interestingly, the verse before, I want to bring your attention to verse 1, which goes as follows. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Let me ask you, what's that got to do with reading the Bible, that verse? What's that got to do with reading God's word? As I said to you, I hear it all the time as a pastor. I try to read my Bible, but it's just boring. I try to read my Bible, and I simply cannot understand it. The Bible is different to every other written thing. It's different to every other magazine, every other publication, every other newspaper, because of this. You do not read the Bible solely with your eyes. You read it with your heart. You read it with your heart. And if you don't have a heart that is right and pure and in tune with God, the Bible's going to be a closed book for a lot of you. Peter says, if you have a dirty heart, you must rid yourself of malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind to get benefit out of the Bible. So these two verses are connected, 1 and 2, not just because 2 follows 1, but because before you can sit down and eat a biblical meal, before you can go and drink biblical milk, you have to get rid of something. You have to clean your heart out. It's a bit like appreciating a physical meal. We've been doing some DIY around the church the last couple of weeks. Maybe you don't notice, but this is staying the same color as the blinds now. And the skirting matches the blinds. And the mother's room has been repainted. And little things that I must commend my wife and the team that has helped. But anyway, my illustration. The one day I spent doing DIY. I came home. I was covered in paint, like little specks of paint. There was paint in my hair, if I had hair on my head. Paint on my clothes, paint under my fingernails, all over my hands, my shoes. I was a mess. I was really dirty. And Kat had cooked a meal, a dinner. But before I went to have that physical dinner, I went to have a shower. I got rid of those clothes. I got rid of the paint. And I came downstairs. And I could fully appreciate that meal because I was clean. I wasn't stinky. I wasn't dirty. I wasn't smelling of paint and sweat. But I could appreciate that meal. So this is what Peter's trying to say to you. You need to bring your heart before God. You need to make it clean before you eat a biblical meal. Psalm 66, verse 18 says the following: "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Let me say that again. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. The psalm says it very clear. If you've got sin in your heart, God's not listening. So Peter says to us, before you come to God, before you come to eat a biblical meal, before you can understand the word that is written in Scripture, you need to get rid of things. You need to take them off. You need to confess. Confess to the Lord of things. It's all got to do with relationships with people, what Peter's talking about here. And I'm just going to quickly go through that list, which he's got in verse 2. I think it's in verse 2. Well, anyway, the list. Let's go through the list quickly. Malice. What is malice? It's bitterness, hard feelings, carrying grudges. We've got to get rid of it. The next one we've got to get rid of is deceit. What does that mean? Being dishonest, being two-faced, having a hidden agenda, saying one thing in front of someone's face and saying something else behind their back. That's deceit. Hypocrisy, play acting, pretending you're something you're not, hiding behind a mask. Envy, resenting the fact that someone else has something that you do not have. Example, Johnny Williams just bought a beautiful new car. Bless you, Johnny. Bless you, Johnny. May God continue to prosper you. Do not be envious of your brothers and sisters. Slander, that's gossip. Rumor mongering, talking about people behind their backs. If any of those things are true, you need to get rid of them. You've got to say, time out. I need to confess these. You cannot read the Bible with a dirty heart, because you not only read it with your eyes, you read it with your heart. God says, if there's sin in your heart, the Bible is going to be a closed book to you. Someone else said, either sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. So that's number one. We need to develop a heart for God's word. Number two, we need to develop a hunger. We need to develop a hunger for God's word. Going back to verse 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Peter again says, this book is life. Just like a newborn baby, as I explained earlier, hungers milk. A newborn baby cries. It cries. When a newborn baby cries, it wants two things. It either wants to be fed or it wants to be changed. Our hearts should cry out for the spiritual milk of the Bible. We should do everything to stimulate a hunger for God's work, for God's word. So how do we do that? Well, one of the ways is what you're doing right here this morning. You come and you listen to someone who breaks open the word and says, this is what God is doing. And when you come to a sermon like this, I encourage you, bring your pen and your notebook. Write down these scriptures that are up on the screen. The Holy Spirit will come and convict you of something very specific while I speak. Each one of you are individual. Write it down. Just make a short note. When you go home, I trust every day, every Sunday, that people will come here and will be changed by the Word of God. But more than that, I trust that what I preach will stimulate a hunger to go and seek for more. Oh yeah, that scripture. Let me go read it for myself. Is that what God really means when he says that? I want to read that. Go home, study the word. You could come and listen to me preach every single day of the week. Every single day of the week, you could come in here and listen to me preach. But that's no substitute for getting into the word by yourself. You know, I have a hotline to God, but so do you. I have a direct pipeline to God, but so do you. The same God that speaks to me through the Bible wants to speak to you through the Bible. Same God. Same God. God does not play favorites. He doesn't favor the pastor over anybody here. There are no favorites in the kingdom. I know that's difficult to understand. Anytime someone comes to the Bible and says, God, speak to me, God is faithful. With a clean heart, speak to me, God. But I encourage you, take your notebook and your pen to your quiet time. Write things down when he speaks to you. Go to your quiet time with open eyes, open ears, and an open heart. He really wants to speak to you. God wants to feed you spiritually every single day. Okay, we know living in Franschhoek, we're very blessed. We can go to some of the best restaurants, not in town, but in the country. In the entire country, we have some of the best restaurants in town. Now, we can go there, and we can order the finest meal that money can buy. We can spend hundreds or thousands of rands for this meal. And the food can be good, no matter how good it is. If you're not hungry, you're not going to eat it. If you go to a restaurant, the best restaurant on full, you're not going to eat the food, no matter how good it is. The truth is, there's nothing wrong with the food here. The food in this book is perfect. It's absolutely perfect. The food is fine. The problem is, there's something wrong with our appetite. That's the problem. What's wrong with our appetites? What's wrong? That brings me to my third point. But number one, we need to develop a heart for God's word. Number two, we've got to develop a hunger for God's word. Number three, we have to develop a hearing for God's word. Now listen to what Peter says in verse 3. He says, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm in the Bible. It's really long. It's all about God's word. In Psalm 119, it says that the Lord's word is sweeter than honey. Sweeter than honey. When you taste, really taste the real God, you will be yearning for more. Trust me, you will have a hunger and a heart for God. There are two kinds of physical starvation. The first one is not eating. Someone like Howard Hughes, that eccentric billionaire in the States, or Mahatma Gandhi, they starve themselves. So basically what happens, as I explained earlier, is when you stop eating, eventually over time, you will die. So that's the one way to starve yourself. We've seen a lot of pictures of starving people in magazines and the news. And remember I said to you, the physical often represents or mirrors the spiritual. So I'm going to show you, don't show the picture yet. If you're sensitive, close your eyes for the next 20 seconds. I'm going to show you a picture of what a starving physical body looks like. And just think maybe what your spirit may look like. So close your eyes. The one on the left is someone from a concentration camp, and the one on the right is, we've seen many before, but malnutrition, walking skeletons, emaciated, not enough to eat. Not enough to eat. Okay, you can take it off. So that's one way to starve to death. The other way to starve to death is not by not eating, it's by not eating the right stuff. Let me give you an example. The European explorers, probably like 400 or 500 years ago, they packed their ships to sail and find, well, to discover new land. So what did they do? They didn't know the same things as we know about nutrition today. They didn't have an understanding of a little nutrient called vitamin C. Okay, so they packed their ships full of corn, full of potatoes, full of all sorts of food. And every day on that voyage, they ate. They ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So maybe they didn't eat three meals a day, but they ate. They ate enough to keep them alive. But that nutrient was missing. They developed scurvy. Didn't see it on the outside at the beginning, but then their limbs started to swell. Their joints started to swell. Their teeth started to fall out. Eventually, their organs stopped functioning, and some of them died. So they were eating, but they were eating the wrong stuff. The reason that some people find it so hard to have an appetite for God's word is because they're filling their spirits full of junk food. And we live in a spiritual junk food generation and culture. Let me give you an example. We will feed our soul with hour after hour after hour after hour of mindless TV programming that brings no glory to God, that actually mocks everything that the Bible stands for. You watch the sitcoms, see how they subconsciously bring in ungodly things into the sitcoms. So we will spend time watching the TV, but we won't spend time in the Bible. We will clog our arteries of the spirit with the sex and the violence and the profanity of modern day movies, but we won't spend time in the Bible. Some of us will fill our ears with music that degrades God, denies the Lord, disgraces the word, but we won't listen, we won't read the Bible. Others will fill our spirits with lust, looking at pornographic images, that look at pornographic, degrading images that degrade women, degrade men, degrade children, but we won't read our Bible. And then we wonder why we have no appetite for God's word. We wonder why we don't hunger for the word of God. I want to make this message practical for you, my brothers and sisters, today. I want to make it practical to help you, because it helped me. I was in a place of spiritual dryness. Someone in our congregation came up to me a few weeks ago and said, "Yanni, I can see cracks on you, dry cracks." And the reason was not enough time in the Bible. But God was speaking to me through somebody else, not a choice. I could just say, "Yes, God, someone's just told me something." I knew exactly when the person spoke to me what it was about. I can either do nothing about it or I do something about it. So I'm going to help you with practical things, because maybe you don't know. So I'm going to give you four practical guidelines and one challenge. This is how the practical guidelines go. Choose a Bible that is most suitable for you. First of all, the Bible comes in 600 languages. It's been translated into 600 languages. Find a language that suits you. If English isn't your first language and you struggle, get it in Afrikaans. Get it in German. Get it in Dutch. Get it in your language that you understand. If you don't have a Bible, come and talk to me. Please, we will gladly sponsor you a Bible. If there's anybody in this church who does not have a Bible, we will sponsor you a Bible. Okay, now going on to English, because most of us in this room will have an English Bible. There's 78 different translations of the English Bible. From the Old King James, which is thee, thou, quite difficult to understand, but some people love it. Then you've got the New King James. You have the ESV, the English Standard Version. You have the NIV, the New International Version. You have the NLT, the New Living Translation. 78 different translations. Myself, I've got about 5 translations, but maybe that's because I'm a pastor. But let me tell you, it goes from the loosest translation, which is the Message. I've got the Message. I've also got the NLT, which is much easier reading. The NLT is much easier reading. I'm going to be honest with you. But if you want to be scripturally correct with the translation, go to the other side, NIV, in the middle of the road, ESV, on the very literal translation. All of these. But as you grow, you'll find, hey, maybe the Message isn't doing it for me anymore. Maybe I need to upgrade my translation. And there's some great Bibles out there. There's study Bibles, which will give character profiles. It will give you maps. It will give you descriptions of things. It will give you a breakdown at the bottom of each page. It takes each verse and it will give you examples and illustrations to help you understand. It's called a study Bible. Okay, so that's number one. Choose a Bible that most suits you. Number two, the format of the Bible. The format of the Bible. You can stick with the old-fashioned paper. It used to be more old-fashioned. It used to be on scrolls. Okay, so they put it in a book, paper in a book. But scrolls developed into a book. But we are living in a digital generation. So if you don't like, or if you don't even read paper anymore, get it on your iPad. Get it on your Kindle. Get it on your computer. There's Esau. There's a host of different biblical resources. There's Bible Gateway, which is completely free. You go and you can read. There's audio Bibles. If you're blind or hard of seeing, or you just can't you can't bring yourself to reading the Bible, get an audio Bible. There's DVDs, interactive DVD Bibles. There's, now this is my favorite, and I'm going to, little advert for iPhone. The new iPhone 5 is coming out. I don't have the 5, but anyway. For those of you with smartphones, okay? For me personally, because maybe I'm born in this digital age, not quite like my nephew and niece who are like 6 and 10, but for me, I don't leave home ever without my phone, okay? You shouldn't ever leave home without your Bible, but my Bible is on my phone. And there are some incredible applications that you can get. Me personally, I use YouVersion, but there's a lot out there. That's an Apple version. I don't know if it's on other smartphones, but there's lots out there. There's Olive Tree. I know Olive Tree is very well used. But with regards to this, let me show you. As I say, I'm not promoting Apple today, but may look like it. Okay. So I've gone into my application right now. Okay. Let's just see. Okay, I'm going to put it next to my mic so that you can hear it. Okay, so basically this is audio Bible.
Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Now when all the people saw...
Okay, so that was the Ten Commandments. Part of the Ten Commandments that maybe you forgot about. This application does wonders, okay, for me. The first thing I do in the morning is I've got my phone next to my bed. Before I get out of bed, I pull out this, and I don't need to turn on the light because my screen is glowing, so I can read it. If I don't feel like reading it, I get the man to read it to me. Okay? So, and we've got, the application has, I don't know, maybe 78 of the 78 known translations. Powerful. And I know a lot of you carry smartphones. Be smart on your smartphone. Okay? All right. All right, number three. So you've got a suitable format. You've got a Bible that suits you. So number three is pray. Every single time before you go to the Word, pray for revelation. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and make the Word alive for you. That is the only way. That is the only way that the Scriptures will become unlocked for you, that God can reveal the mystery of His Word is through the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you're just reading a book. So seek the message that God has for you personally. Look for promises to proclaim. Look for examples to follow. Look for commands to obey. And look for sins to avoid. Let God speak to you through His Word. He wants to. Let God speak to you through His Word. I'll give you an example of what happened to me. I got a phone call not so long ago, or quite long ago, and they said, Yanni, will you come and share a message with some boys at one of the courses, the residences at Stellenbosch? And it was 4 o'clock. I said, yeah, sure, what time? When do you want me to do it? Next week? No, today. We want you to do it today at 5 o'clock. I'm like, it's 4 o'clock. Yes, I know. Will you come? So I was like, yeah, of course, I'll come. I'm like, put down the phone. I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to say? Lord, what do you want me to say? So I pick up the Bible and I start reading. And I'm reading, and suddenly, boom, one verse jumps out. And it's going to sound so obvious, okay, what I should have spoken about. But boom, it was like lights came on. Titus 2:6. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. How is that for a direct answer to God? Amen. Praise God. That is how He wants to speak to you. But you got to, I was in expectation because I was like, Lord, it's not about me. Quickly tell me what to say. He came through. And when he speaks, it's like the world disappears. Okay, so that's number three, is ask the Holy Spirit to bring revelation and understanding. Number four, this is probably the most important one for Yanni, but maybe for other people out there too. A structured reading plan. Not just one day pick it up and go, oh yeah, that's a nice verse. Next day, oh, that's a nice verse. Oh yeah, okay. And every day you're flipping from page to page. I'm not saying that you can't do that, but you need some structure. And again, we're living in a digital age. Go online. Go to youversion.com. There are probably 10,000 different structured reading plans. If you want to read about consecrating your life, there's a topic called consecrating your life. It will give you a list. Day one, this scripture. Day two, this scripture. So not only can you choose by topic, you can choose by number of days. I want to read, give me a plan for the next year. Give me a plan for the next 6 months, 2 weeks, 5 days. Structured reading plan. You can choose things like personalities, biblical personalities. There are infinite number of permutations of reading plans. So, reading plan.